Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, praise and worship team. Want to give these guys a hand clap up here. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is good. And all the time. I'm going to teach y'all how to be hillbillies, okay? You know, we're from Tennessee. You know where Tennessee is? Nashville. Country music. Dolly Parton. Yeah. Okay, go. Hee-haw! All right. Well, you can do it better than that. Come on, do it. Hee-haw! I tell you, when you're preaching grace, you know what you feel like doing? Yeah! I tell you, I don't know about you all, but I kind of feel like running. Don't you all feel like running? Woo! I'm telling you, have we been blessed today? I tell you, you know, I just want to talk to you just a little while about how learning how to reign through grace. You know, a lot of people find life, especially during the times that we're living in, that life reigns upon them. Troubles, trials, tests, temptations. Where does all of that fit in regard to the grace message? If we believe that God is so good and He loves us, why do we have problems? Did you ever wonder that? What do you do when you get into the middle of a problem? Where does it go? How do you say, well, you know, God, I believe that you love me unconditionally, but I've got this great temptation in my life I don't know what to do with. Has anybody ever been there? Now, come on, you can do better than that. Say amen. Yeah. So we've all been to that place to where we want to receive grace, but knowing how to implement grace, knowing how to receive grace, knowing how to walk in the grace of God, understanding that the grace of God, the ability of God, the divine ability of God to get you through any circumstance in your life is one of the most important factors that you'll ever understand. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 says that we receiving the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace will reign in life with one Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that if we can go to the throne of grace and mercy and receive grace to help us in a time of need. I don't know about you all, but every day of my life is a time of need. I need grace every day of my life. I need grace. I don't need law. I need grace. I don't need law, I need mercy. I need the mercies of God to direct my life, to give me wisdom, to give me inspiration, to give me direction, to give me truth, to give me the light that I need to walk by. And folks, listen to me now. It didn't say, come to the throne of judgment. He said, come to the throne of grace, that you may be able to receive grace and mercy to help in a time of need. Grace is the divine influence of God that when you get into a situation can show you a way out of that situation. And if you can't figure a way out of the situation, God will make a way out of the situation. If you can't figure out what to do, you can't figure out which direction to go. If you'll stand still, you'll see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? See, I think we've got to come to the conclusion. There's one conclusion that we've got to come to. Listen to this now. Jesus is not going to get to be Lord. Jesus is Lord. Somehow or another, we think if everybody will get saved and everybody will do right, then all of a sudden Jesus will become Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over sin. Jesus is Lord over sickness and disease. Jesus is Lord over poverty. When He came up from death, He said, I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave in my hand. He wasn't kidding. He's Lord. Say it. Jesus is Lord. Now, I'm a pastor. You know, I pastor people, and people have problems. You know, one of our pastor friends one time told us and said, pastoring would be easy if it wasn't for people. Did you understand that? Pastoring would be easy if it wasn't for people. But you know what? You couldn't pastor if it wasn't for people. Amen. So you have to understand to receive the grace to be able to pastor people. I'll tell you, I don't know how some of you pastors and leaders here are, but in our church and in circles that we're in, you know, a lot of times you'll hear difficult situations that people are going through. How do you deal with that? Do you just give up? Say the world's going to hell in a handbasket? No, you go to the throne of the grace of God and you receive the grace of God, the ability of God. Listen, to keep going when you don't feel like you can make another step. There's a lot of Sunday mornings I don't want to go to church. Don't look at me in that pious way. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's some Sunday mornings you wake up and don't want to go to church. You don't want to deal with that woman that's got that problem. You don't want to deal with that man that's got that problem. But you know what? You get up on the side of the bed. You receive the grace of God. You say, Father, I come to that throne of grace. I receive that grace. I acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. He's not going to get to be Lord when they do right. He's already Lord. He's already Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over sin. He's defeated sin. The Scripture says that sin shall not have dominion over you because you're not under the law but under grace. I'm preaching better than you're letting on. Amen. I'll tell you, in order for us to learn to reign through grace, we want to recognize that if we'll receive grace, listen to me now, if we will receive the grace of God and we'll receive this message, this grace will begin to take us on a different path than we thought that religion would take us on. I can remember when I first became a Christian in 1979, the day before I got saved, the day before I got born again, I already had my mind made up what God was all about. Through religious teaching, I thought that once you became a Christian, you had to walk a tightrope. Have you ever been a tightrope Christian? Listen to me, Pastor. Some of y'all need to loosen up. You need to have some fun. You need to enjoy life. Listen to me, pastors. You men pastors in here, you need to enjoy your wife. You ladies missed a grand opportunity to say amen. Amen. I want to tell you something. Look, when you read the Scriptures, look at who Jesus ministered to and turned into preachers. You remember the woman at the well? Married 5 times. Living with a guy. But she met the Master. And the Master turned her into a preacher. Yeah! Yeah! The Master turned a woman that was living with, had lived with 5 men and was living with a man at that time, turned her into an evangelist. She went down to that city and she won that city to the Lord. Woo! I tell you what, we need to get off these ladies' backs and let them have a good time in God. Quit trying to oppress them. Let me tell you something. When a woman's got the anointing on her to preach, she can preach good. Amen. Amen. I mean, I've heard some good women preachers. I'm telling you, I love them. You know what? I love my wife too. Now, this is from the Lord. Now, listen to this. Some of you pastors are wanting to be more fruitful in your lives and ministry. You're not going to go any further than what you honor your wife. I'm talking to you now. Amen. I'm going to say it again. You're not going to go any further than what you honor your wife. The Scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Oh, that woman is the problem, Lord. Boy, she'd straighten up. I could preach better. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie to bring division. That's a lie to rob you of the grace of God. I'm telling you, God put you with that woman because He knew she had some grace that you needed. I'm talking to you from personal experience. Because when I first got saved back in 1979, you thought I'd digress from that story, but I'm back on that story now. In 1979, got born again. Thought I knew everything there was to know about following God. And you know what I thought it was? This is what my thought was. Following God was like walking a tightrope. You know what a tightrope is? You walk a tightrope with God. Oh my God, if you get off on one side, the devil will kill you. If you get off on the other side, God will. You ever been there? Listen, we need to chill out. God's not going to kill you. God's not trying to kill you. If God wanted to kill you, honey, you'd be gone. Get it over. If God wanted you out, you'd be out. God didn't want you out. That's why He put the penalty and the punishment and the judgment for your sin and your problem on Jesus. And listen, we pull away from the Lordship of Jesus by not acknowledging that fact. Jesus is Lord. Amen. You get the Christian, you know, walking this tightrope, and you think, my God, I tell you what, I've got to make everybody right. My family's got to be right. And all of a sudden you think, God, my wife's not right. I've got to get me a new wife. And then all of a sudden you begin to condemn yourself. Listen, if you're walking a tightrope like that, I just want to encourage you, get off yourself. Get over yourself. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, we have received the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in our God that raises the dead. He was talking about living a simple and sincere life of grace. I am convinced of this as much as I am standing here tonight. God cannot, nor will He not, recognize anything that doesn't flow through grace. Because you have to understand something. Grace is not just a word. Grace is a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture says in John 1:17, it says that Moses gave the law. But Jesus came and gave us grace and truth. Moses presented the law, but Jesus loved you enough to come to you and give you grace and truth. You know, I could throw something at you from a distance and you could get it, but Jesus came. He came to bring grace. He didn't come to bring law. You know, Let me share a little bit with you all. You know, I was born again in 1979 and I had all this figured out. Now, you know, I'm walking this tightrope with God. The tightrope of the Holy Ghost, we called it. Where we were afraid if we got off on one side, the devil would kill us. If we got off on the other side, God would kill us. And so I'm walking this tightrope and all of a sudden, lo and behold, I get into the ministry. And you know what? When I got into the ministry, I kept walking the tightrope. But you know what I did? I brought everybody else along with me. Yeah. Hey, you walk this tightrope, baby, or you're not righteous. You walk this tightrope, or you're not accepted. You walk this tightrope, you don't look quite as good as I do. You don't act quite as good as I do. But you know what? The Scripture says in 1 John 4:10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us. Herein is love. Not that we've got to walk a tightrope to please God, but that God loved us and sent Jesus to be the propitiation for our sins, or the appeasement for our sins. You know, Pastor Tom does a great series, and I don't know if he's got it back there on his tape table, but I want you to get it if you can get it. It's called Clarifying Christian Concepts. And there's a lot of people that need their Christian concepts clarified. They need to understand they're not sitting on the throne, that Jesus is Lord. Works will rob you of grace. Trying to walk a tightrope will rob you of grace. You remember the story? Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. I want to show you this. Genesis chapter 2. Everybody say it out loud. Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Say, He's not going to get to be Lord.
He already is Lord.
See, somehow or another, we think if the 6 billion people on the earth accepted Jesus all of a sudden, then He's going to be Lord. The day that Jesus was raised from the dead, Jesus became Lord, and it became a finished work of His Lordship. And I know if you're like me, that leaves you thinking, well, what's left to be done? I'll tell you what's left to be done for you to tell the world that Jesus is Lord. Tell the world that God's not mad at them. Tell the world that Jesus is now in that high priestly ministry, ever before the throne of God, so that we can be saved to the uttermost, meaning that the provision of life, the bread of life, the every part of life that you need, He is there for you to see that you get it. But you know what? I'm convinced of this. I'm convinced that there's a lot of Christians that have never settled the fact that Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
They've accepted Jesus, and if they died, they'd go to heaven. But they've never settled the fact that Jesus is Lord. You say, well, Pastor Ron, how do you know that how can I get it settled in my heart that Jesus is Lord? Here's a great question. How much do you fear? Are you afraid of government? Are you afraid of the devil? Are you afraid of political leaders? Listen, here's a big one. This is a big one. Are you afraid of Christian leaders? When the pastor walks in the room, do you bow down? No. You better not do that. There is one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. There is one mediator. And I've got news for you now. You pastors, listen to me. You may not like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Because I'll be leaving soon. Pastors, we've got to understand something. We are not the mediator between our folk and God. Jesus is the mediator. And I know how you feel. I'm the same way. You know, if you're pastoring, a leader, you care so much about your people. You know, I'll be counseling some people in my office, and they'll come out of my office, and my wife serves as our secretary, and her office is just outside of mine. And she'll come out and she'll say, you know what, I'm telling you, you care more about them than they care about them.
That's right.
I've got to learn that in my own heart. I'm not their mediator. I preach the gospel to them. They live their lives. I preach the gospel of grace to them. They decide what they do with it. See, people are so afraid. Now listen to me, pastors and leaders. People are so afraid of the grace message because what it does, it puts personal responsibility right in the lap of individuals. It puts that responsibility of what they do with it. And I'll tell you, that is what you were destined and designed to have anyway. God never destined or designed any human being to have dominion over another human being. Never! God is God, not man. In other words, you were destined to have dominion, possession, and power. That's what that blessing was that He put on Adam. When He blessed Adam, I forget who it was this morning that was said, when He blessed Adam, when God blessed Adam and bowed and blessed him, that's the word Barak in the Hebrew, and it means that he bowed his knee and blessed Adam, and He said, you be fruitful, you multiply, you replenish the earth, you have power, you have dominion, you let that work in your life.
Right.
Woo, you talking about grace, honey. You're talking about grace. Woo! Glory to God. We don't need to be complaining about what we don't have. We need to be complaining what's available, what God has. We need to be thankful for what we have and look what God's got available to us. I'm telling you, God wants us to take dominion of this planet. And we are. We are. God put that blessing on Adam. I'll tell you, did God bless his heart? Adam screwed it up. People, and I will say this again. People have laid that off on Eve. I want to tell you something. Eve had not even been created when God told Adam not to eat of that tree. She was still a rib in his side. And women have been blamed for that forever. Well, it's that woman's fault. It's that woman's fault you gave me. No. Everybody go, yeehaw!
Yeehaw!
Amen. And then the woman said, it's the devil made me do it. But I want to show you something. You notice most of us, we get frustrated with evil, which is correct. I mean, we have that God-given righteousness on the inside of us that evil ought to bother us. When people do unjust things to other people, it ought to bother us. It ought to do something on the inside of us to cause us to want to stop it. But I want to tell you something that's just as dangerous as evil, and that is when you partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the tree in the garden that God told Adam and Eve not to eat of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you determine in your own strength what is good, you are just as dangerous as someone that is doing what is evil. Uh-huh. Say amen or owe me one. Because God told Adam, He said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did you find that in Genesis 2? Let's look at that. Let's read that. We need to see that. We need to see that from our own scriptures here. Notice in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. It says, and the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress and keep it. And the Lord commanded Adam and Eve. Huh? Who did the Lord command? Help me out here, ladies. I need your help. He commanded the man. Where was Eve at that time? She had not been created yet. Well, I tell you, ladies, have gotten too bad of a rap now. I tell you, we need to start honoring our ladies. Loving our ladies. Let me take a little side journey here. You don't mind? I have a lot of men. I do a lot of marriage counseling. I have a lot of men come in my office and say, well, my wife just won't let me be the head. Think about that. She won't let me be the head. I said, the Scripture didn't say the husband is the head of the wife if Christ let her be. No, the Scripture says the husband is the head of the wife. So that tells me something. If that man comes to my office and says, well, she won't let me be the head, then you know what? He's not doing what he needs to do to be the head. You know what? If you're supposed to be a leader and nobody's following you, you're not doing anything but taking a walk. If you're a husband and your wife won't follow you, you're not leading, you're taking a walk. I don't know why I'm off on this tonight. This is not even in my notes here. But I tell you, folks, listen, women have been oppressed too long. They're a gift. They're a blessing of God.
Yes, they are.
And I'll tell you what, there is no man in this room that can love your wife until you love yourself first. And you cannot love yourself until you know the love of God for you. And that's what the heart of the gospel is, that you understand that love and that grace is available to you, even if you don't understand your wife and you don't understand why she does what she does. You can receive the love of God in your heart, and God will grant you the wisdom, the insight, the concepts to know how to love her. But notice here what he said. And the Lord commanded the man in verse 16, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of... what? What's that next word? Say it out loud. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, it wasn't just a tree of the knowledge of evil. It was a tree of the knowledge of good. And what we do when we decide what is good, we put ourselves in the position of God. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to us the good things of life. That's His job. He's to lead and guide us into all truth. You know, you're perverted to try to take something evil and make it good. You can't do that. It doesn't line up with the Word. We know good from what God says is good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, do you all have like CNN news media over here? What, your news channels and things? You know what? They don't determine what is good. God determines what is good. In our country, you know, we have all these news networks and people watch these news networks and they just put fear out and fear out and fear out and this is going to happen and that's going to happen and people buy into that. But that God, that does not line up with what God said is good. Everybody say this out loud. My goodness comes from the Lord. His direction. His counsel. Turn with me to Luke 18 real quickly. Luke 18. Guys, you will have to help me on time. I have no idea where I am on time. But look at Luke 18 here. Everybody say, this is the Master. Now notice this. This is Jesus speaking. Luke 18:18. It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Wasn't that great this morning? What, I can't remember which figure it was. It said something about inheriting eternal life. But notice what Jesus said here in verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Everybody say, this is the Master. Jesus himself said to the rich young ruler, why do you call me good? Why is everybody fighting to be so good and right and look so good? They haven't read this scripture. Why callest thou me good? Notice what Jesus said. He said, none is good. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness gracious. That means all of us. Well, that'll break that religious hold over your mind, won't it? That'll make you think, well, I thought I was a really good person, Pastor Ron. Listen, Jesus said, none is good but one, and that is God. Now notice what he said here. Notice this. He said, everything that you see coming out of me is the goodness of God coming out of me. It is not even me doing it. Everyone needs to hear that, says the Spirit of the Lord. And joy will rise up in their hearts because they'll break the yoke of trying to perform and be good enough in the eyes of man. There is none good but one, and that is our God. And when we receive the intrinsic goodness that came through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when goodness can flow out of us into other people. Yeehaw! Folks, I don't know about you all, but that sure helps me. Because you know what? It keeps me from trying to walk the tightrope. It keeps me from having to look good in front of my congregation. It keeps me from having to perform, to be that right person all the time, to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. But I know one answer, and that is God is good. Let me tell you something. God is so good, He will erase stuff in your life that you do wrong. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah? Y'all remember that story? Turn over to Genesis 16 just a moment with me. Genesis 16. Look at this. I tell you, if this won't flip your flapper just can't be flipped. Now that's just all there are to it. How can I say that here? Help me out, somebody. If that won't get your fire going, your wood's wet. How's that? Amen. Notice here, Genesis 16. I'm so thrilled about this. Everybody say, I'm buttoned down. You better buckle your seatbelt on this one, guys. Look here with me in Genesis. Where did I tell you to turn? Look at this. Look in verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Well, I better not go there. Amen. That Abraham, I'll tell you. You know, Abraham really messed up a lot. But thank God for grace. Can you say amen? Notice here. And Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Now here's Sarah setting up the deal for Abraham to go into Hagar and have a child. And when Sarah saw that Hagar got pregnant, she got mad about it. But now look with me real carefully here over into Genesis 16:15. Look in verse 15, just for the sake of time. It says, And Hagar bare Abram a son. Everybody say, a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. Okay? You with me now? Now turn with me real quickly over to Genesis 21. Genesis 21. It says in verse 1, And the Lord visited Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Now, I'm definitely not a mathematician, but how much is 1 plus 1? How much is 1 plus 1? So, now, you kind of help me out here. Did Abraham and Hagar have a son? What was his name? Okay. Did Abraham and Sarah have a son? What was his name? Okay. Now turn with me to Genesis 22 just a minute. Look here in Genesis 22. Now, say it again. 1 plus 1 equals what? 2. Okay. Now notice here. Genesis 22 verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. Now notice this. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac. Only. Now, what happened to Ishmael? I'm telling you, God will erase your Ishmaels. God said He would bless Ishmael and He took care of Ishmael. But you got to understand something. God, when He came to what God wanted to do, He did not count what Abraham had done wrong against Him. I mean, I'm smart enough to know that 1 plus 1 is 2. But when God said, Bring thine only son. But you know what the Word says in Galatians? chapter 4, that as Isaac was, we are children of promise. Woohoo! Yee-haw! I'm telling you folks, listen. This kingdom that we have received, we need to learn that Jesus is Lord. Listen to me now, guys. And put the pressure where the pressure belongs. We weren't designed to carry all this. God knew we would make mistakes. God knew we couldn't do this right. Even in the old covenant, He made a way that they could still accomplish the promise when they had messed up. You say, are you excusing sin? No, I'm not excusing sin. I mean, I think Steve's analogy this morning of the poison was absolutely phenomenal. And I'm going to preach that. And after one or two times, I'm going to say it's my revelation. He says, I have the right to copy. Amen. Wasn't that an awesome revelation about the poison? I'm not saying this to get you to sin. Listen, I'm saying this to get you to see how unshakable this kingdom is that we have. It is so solid. It is so stable. It is not based on whether you add to it or take away from it. It's based on the fact that Jesus is Lord. And you have received Him as Lord, which makes you a joint heir with Him. And you can enjoy the promises of God, just like Abraham did. Even though he made a mistake with Hagar, God said, bring thine only son. In other words, you may be in this room and you may have been married a half a dozen times, but I'm going to tell you this, God said, bring your only wife. You know which one that is? That's the one you're with. That's the one you're with. In closing, turn to Hebrews 13 real quickly. You got to see this. Hebrews 13, and we're closing. I love this passage of Scripture. Everybody say, thank God for grace. See, you can learn in your life to rule and reign if you'll receive grace. If you try to do it by law, by your own works, by your own ability, you are going to miss out on the opportunity of your life to enter into the rest of God and watch God perform on your behalf. I said, if you do not enter into this rest, you're going to miss the opportunity to see grace work and watch God perform for you rather than you perform for Him. And listen, I say this with just as much of a sincere heart as I can for all of you pastors and leaders. I mean, I pray for our congregation. I grieve when they get into trouble. But I'm telling you, God is bigger than the biggest mistake mankind can ever make. And we need to start looking to our great Heavenly Father rather than pointing the finger at each other. Because listen, you know, I don't know if... Have y'all ever done this? I used to pray that God would get people. Did you ever ask God to get somebody? This sister has. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. Thank you for your honesty there, sister. But did you ever pray, God, get them? You know, I was praying for this guy that had done me wrong one time. And I was saying, God, get him. Just get him, God. Just get him. And you know, the Lord stopped me. And he spoke just as clear as I've ever heard Him. He said, Ron, if I get him, I got to get you. Amen. See, we need to get a hold of that. Because you know what, guys? Listen, we're all here. We've all experienced pain. People have done us wrong. Bad things have happened in our life. And you know what? God never promised that you'd never have a trial. He never promised you'd never have a temptation. It's not that we won't ever have a trial, test, or temptation, but it's what we do in the middle of it. What do we do with it? He never promised us that nothing would ever go wrong. I mean, if you think about it, here Jesus is in the back of the boat, and they're going across the lake, and a storm rises up. Well, did God cause the storm? But you know, in America, when that huge hurricane hit, Katrina, preachers came on television saying God did that because that part of the country was in worse sin than the other parts. And I thought, my God, I better put hatches on my windows. I better close up my house because my city's sin is no cleaner than that city's sin. God didn't do Katrina. God didn't do the tsunami. The Scripture says the whole earth groans and travails until the sons of God be manifested in the earth. The whole earth groans and travails. That's not God bringing judgment down on someone. That's like taking Jesus and slapping Him in the face and saying what you did didn't matter. I'm telling you, God is so in love with mankind that He sent Jesus. I love my children. I've got 3 daughters and a granddaughter. And as much as I love every one of you all, I wouldn't give them for any of you. And you wouldn't either. And there's no reason for us to lie about that. I wouldn't want you to give your children for me. It'd be perverted. But you know what? God's love gave that type of sacrifice so that we can enjoy this kingdom that is unshakable, unmovable, so that we can know that we've got this rock to stand on. Even in the midst of the storm, when Jesus was going across on that boat and He's finally stood up on the bow of that boat, listen, if He spoke to the storm and rebuked the storm and God sent the storm, then Jesus was rebuking something that God did. God is not sending a storm to you. God is trying to give life, light, hope, revelation, insight, wisdom, grace. Why? He's God. He loves you. But I want you to know this is Scripture in closing now. Notice this. Notice in verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 26. He said, "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now He that hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Now notice verse 28. "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have works, dead works, performance. Let us do everything we can to make God happy because He's mad at us. Let us try to do everything right because God's going to kill us if we don't." Is that what it said? It said, no. "We, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace." See, once we understand and grab a hold of the Lordship and how solid the Lordship of Jesus is, the very first thing that ought to show up in all of our lives is grace. When you understand that Jesus is Lord, you're not going to be a mean, angry, backbiting, hating, murmuring Christian. You're not going to be a leader that's condemning every person around you. The grace, the love, and I think it says here, the fire of God will consume your very life. I tell you, I don't know about y'all, it makes me say, yee-haw again. The fire of God. We having a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us receive grace. Can you say amen? Stand up with me on your feet, please. Stand up. Let's give the Lord a praise offering. Come on, thank Him for His Word. His Word is good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word. And everybody say this out loud with me. Say, Jesus,
You are my Lord.
I acknowledge your lordship. You are Lord over sin. You are Lord over poverty. You are Lord over sickness and disease. You are Lord over the curse. Jesus, you are my Lord. I receive you. I acknowledge you. I accept you as my Lord. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. You have dominion over my life. I lift up my hands. I lift up my heart to you. Jesus, you are Lord. Amen. Amen. Pastor Allen.
Awesome. Amen.